Hello, and welcome to Films That Time Forgot, a podcast series where myself and a special guest look at films from the 80s through to the early 2010s that have been somewhat overlooked in recent years. I'm Adam Thornton, your host, and joining me is a very special guest, one who I really wanted is on the show. It's host of Smir the Smirsh Pod podcast, Mr. John Rain.
Hi, Adam.
Now, John, for anybody who hasn't listened to Smirsh Pod, and I'm very surprised if they haven't, could you just let them know what it's all about?
Oh, well, it started off as a James Bond related podcast, but has gradually expanded into more of a sort of film discussion with a sort of smattering of Columbo in there as well, on one occasion, but mainly just a film discussion podcast with. Just the with people I enjoy talking with, really.
Yeah, because you've sort of moved on just from talking about Bond to the Harry Potter series, like films like the Rocky films, and now you're going into Hammer Horror as well.
Yeah, just do the odd bit of Hammer every now and then with my friend Ashley. Yeah, and I've got some Halloween stuff coming up shortly as well. But it's just it used to be a kind of themed thing, but it's now just any film as and when I fancy talking about it, really.
So, is there any sort of like, do you have any sort of like intentions, like sort of themed seasons, or do you just sort of feel, or do you just watch a film and think, oh, we're quite fancy talking about that?
Yeah, really. I mean, it used to be a themed thing for each series, but this the last sort of year or so, it's just been, yeah, very much like I've made a list and very much just ticking it off as I go, really.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of doing the same. It's like today's film, the 1996 Mark Wahlberg, Reese Witherspoon, erotic thriller, kind of teen thriller, Fear. It's just one of these ones where I was trying to think of a film to do on the podcast, and I thought, oh, I can remember seeing this on TV a while back and being kind of really taken by it as an early entry in both these actors' CVs. Were you familiar with the film until I contacted you?
I was familiar with it. I'd never seen it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I mean, when this film came out, I was working in a video warehouse as a student. And I remember seeing the trailers for it and when it came in. And I remember thinking, Marky Mark doing a film. And I particularly wasn't particularly interested. But obviously, Boogie Nights changed your thinking on that. It's interesting. It's an interesting film. I'd never seen it, so it was interesting to talk about it.
Yeah, because this comes right at the beginning of, Mark Wahlberg's acting career, just after he'd done the whole rapping thing. And of course, this comes right in at really Reese Witherspoon's career. I mean, I think she hadn't done much before then.
No.
I mean, it's an interesting one, isn't it? As a film, it's tonally a little bit all over the place,
Just a
but
bit.
it's it, yeah, just a bit is
Yeah.
putting it mildly, but it's still
Yeah.
quite. I think it's quite kind of gripping, isn't it? In a way, it's quite strangely engaging in its own way.
Yeah, it's strange. It's basically sort of Straw Dogs, Cape Fear, but for teenagers.
Yeah, I mean, reading the reviews at the time, critics at the time do sort of notice this odd mixture, and they kind of, some critics really liked it, but others sort of hated it, just said, oh, it's just very sort of tacky. It's following on the coattails of similar thrillers like Single White Female and so on, and that the finale comes out of nowhere. And whilst I can agree with them, I do think I don't think it really takes away from the film at all.
No, I was actually pleasantly surprised. I was expecting it because it's fairly early on in his CV, and he's not like the world's, or he's become a better actor, but certainly at this point, he wasn't like the world's greatest. So I assumed this would probably be a work in progress for him, but I was actually quite surprised. I thought it was fairly solid performance, given the material. Considering he has to carry the threat in the film, I thought it's pretty good.
Yeah, he's actually surprisingly very menacing as David, and Reese Witherspoon's also pretty good as Nicole. I mean, she's handles kind of the vulnerability, but yet also the other kind of aspects of the character pretty well. She doesn't just become a damsel in distress, so to speak.
No.
But But speaking of the film, let's get started with the
Yeah.
opening, which is an interesting way to start the film. We have Nicole's father, Stephen, played by CSI and Manhunter's very own William Peterson,
Yeah.
basically telling Reese Witherspoon that she dresses like a child.
Yeah, there's also before that is a weird thing. I mean, the soundtrack to this, I really like. Carter Burwell did the score, and it's very good. But the opening credits with the dad going for a run, it's scored like it's a safari. There's like thumping drums. It's like there's a documentary about tigers.
I think it's supposed to represent like primal tension or something.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
And there's also the family dynamic, because we've got Nicole, who's the daughter, Stephen, who's the father. We've then got her stepmom, Laura, who it's implied she has kind of a distant relationship with, and this and the and her younger stepbrother, Toby. And already I like that they don't sort of have the family be a stereotypical happy family to begin with. We see that there's underlying tensions.
Yeah, it's very much a Brady Bunch situation, but with less children. But the mum's big, the stepmother's big on boundaries, and he's big on the step, or the father, I should say, is having trouble sort of establishing a relationship with his teenage daughter. He's very much used to being daddy's girl and that sort of thing.
But it is interesting how you sort of see these tensions play out throughout the film, because it would have been very easy to just have the Nicole character be from sort of like a stable, happy family where there's nothing going on until she meets, the Mark Wahlberg character. But instead, you get these sort of tensions running throughout that sort of suggest that, yeah, maybe there's a reason why, she'd want to gravitate towards him.
I thought we were going to have Chekhov's dog whistle here, unless it happens later, because Toby blows the whistle and the dog comes running. I thought, oh, I'll mark that down. That'll be handy later.
Well,
I don't
it
think that really
is.
pays off. Oh, it does, because the head comes through, doesn't it?
Yes,
Yeah.
it does, which we'll come on to. That's
Yeah.
the big striking moment in the one of the big striking moments in the film. But then we go to Nicole and her two friends, Gary and Margot, played by Alyssa Milano, who the character's written very weirdly. She's kind of slut-shamed in a way which wouldn't be acceptable nowadays.
Yeah, she's very much the rebellious one out of the two of them.
And portrayed as very like overtly sexual in sort
Yeah.
of in a way which nowadays it would be, I think that would be classed as sort of sexist writing.
Yeah. But I guess but still I was reading this was filmed in 94.
94, 95,
Yeah, so it's not long off the coattails of films like Poison Ivy and Basic Instinct. So in them days, you could have a woman who was very much like of loose morals.
But it's not so much the loose morals part. It's a teenage girl being portrayed as having loose morals. I
Yeah.
think it's the age part that's the slight
Yes.
issue.
Yes, because they're supposed to be 16, aren't they? Even though they don't look 16 at all.
Oh, absolutely not. No. Gary looks
No.
a good. The character of Gary looks about 10 years older,
He does, yeah.
and Marky Mark. I mean, Marky Mark, to be fair, looks the age he's supposed to, but Alyssa
Yeah.
Milano, yeah, she definitely looks older, a lot older than Reese Witherspoon.
And this is the second time that Melissa Milano's been in a house when it's been invaded, because she was very much kidnapped in Commando.
She was.
Yeah.
Although instead of Arnold, it's middle-aged dad William Peterson
Yeah.
coming to save the day, which is.
Yeah.
I mean, not a massive downgrade, but it is still a bit of a step down.
He's in good shape, William Peterson. He's run at the beginning, all out of breath just watching him.
Oh yeah, no. Well, he is. Although later on, I think his in shape and has just get a little bit comic booky,
Yeah.
a little over the top. But we're missing out on some good stuff here as Nicole and her friends go to what I find to be a strangely busy coffee shop for what is supposed to be, I guess, lunchtime.
Yeah.
And there's where she meets Marky Mark, playing David, playing pool next to his friend Logan, who Alyssa Milano is strangely attracted to.
Yeah, even though he looks homeless, he looks like a homeless lost boy.
That's exactly, yeah. I mean, I was gonna be even worse and say he looks like Harry Knowles on a Ozempic. But yeah, it's like, why would a 20-something Alyssa Milano be attracted to this guy? He's not exactly charming personality-wise, and just seeing him from a distance, he's just overweight, slobby, and throughout the film, she's shown to be attracted to the Logan character, and you're like, why?
He reminds me of that guy in the first Blade film who keeps the vampire keeps getting away.
Yeah, I thought that as well.
Yeah, but I wanted to point out that at this point, what time of day it is dependent on Mark Wahlberg's mad schedule. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
As in,
He shared on Instagram his daily schedule.
oh God, yeah, where he gets up at like 4:30 in the morning or something.
He gets up at 2:30 in the morning and
Really? Half
has,
two?
yeah. And then at 2:45 has prayer. Then at 3:15 has breakfast. Then at 3:40 till 5:15 works out. And then at 5:30 a.m. he has a post-workout meal till 6. And then it looks like he showers for an hour and a half because golf's at 7:30. And this madness carries on till 7:30 p.m. when he goes to bed.
That is, to be fair, the schedule of a psychopath, and one
Exactly.
I could see David following that, actually.
He was method
Oh,
years later.
completely. Oh, completely. I mean, well, I mean, the only thing we don't see David do is commit a racist hate crime, because that would be a step too far.
But again, not out of his sphere of influence.
No, actually, the character of David, he probably could do. I mean, we don't get really any non-white people in the film, but
That's true.
I'm sure if there were some, they'd suffer at the hands of David. But at this coffee shop, Nicole and Margot get an invite to this rave that's happening. But unfortunately tonight, that that night, but unfortunately, Nicole's got a date to see James Taylor with the family. Deep
Exciting.
joy.
And very much like the dad's committed time with the family to take them all to go and watch James Taylor.
Yeah, that was clearly a one for him. That was clearly a one for him moment. I mean, because there's no way that, like, aside from middle-aged Blake, there's no way anybody else is gonna want to see James Taylor.
No, absolutely not.
And then we get this. Then we get this kind of conversation between Reese Witherspoon and William Peterson, where they sort of argue about, she's like, oh, do I have to see the James Taylor with you? And then we get some sort of background on how she felt that he walked out on her and her mum, which gets sort of patched up. So we get more of the underlying tensions between them. But then we get this really odd bit at the end where they give each other nicknames. Sugar Plum and Nectarine, which sounds more like the conversation between a much older man and his much younger girlfriend. It doesn't sound like the kind of thing a father and daughter would say to each other.
No, and I'm assuming it's him who's got the sugar plums.
I would hope so. I would definitely hope so. But unfortunately, the James Taylor plans are cancelled when Stephen's got work on. And the way he reacts to this is by lashing out against the poor kitchen cabinet.
I thought, are we trying to establish a sort of dynamic that the dad is equally as unhinged? I thought that's interesting, but no, not really.
Yeah, that's sort of strange because I thought that, and sort of one or two other moments later on, I thought, oh, is this going to be a sort of Reese Witherspoon's going to have to be chose between. She's between two sort of psychopaths in her father and in David. But for the rest of the film, he's shown as being more or less an upstanding guy just with an anger management problem. So it's almost like, was the script going to go in a darker? You wonder if this was maybe in like an earlier draft and the script meant to establish like this is going to go in something darker, but then at the last minute they just pulled back.
Probably. But the kid him punching a kitchen cabinet out of pure rage is kind of not a good way to introduce the father character.
Yeah, and who's later supposed to be the sympathetic protagonist? It's like, don't give him these deep, unhinged anger management issues. So then we're at the rave where Nicole starts talking to David, and Margot is again with Logan, again very odd, and for some out of nowhere he just starts a fight.
I think it's because he's actually Wolverine. I've just figured it out.
Yeah, he the
So his
short
name's
build,
Logan. Yeah.
the short build, the hair. The only thing is that he's about at least 4 stone too heavy.
That's true. Yeah, he's Fat Wolverine.
And it's hard to
Yeah.
imagine him really sort of standing up for the rights of oppressed mutants.
No, not really. No, he's more likely to merge with the rest of the mutants. He'd definitely
Yeah.
be on the Magneto's side.
Yeah, he'd be like the budget Sabretooth, for if they can't get Tyler Mayne or leave
Yeah.
Schreiber, they just go, Ian McKellen goes, oh, who should I turn to? Oh, this fat, schlubby roadie
Eddie
guy.
Large.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
A hirsute Eddie Large.
Yeah, he starts. He's the kind of man, this Logan guy, can start a fight in an empty room, and he starts a brawl at this rave.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly it escalates. It goes from him just punching out one or two people to everybody just running.
I love that. I love film fights always turn into one person will punch another, and then another person will punch another. It's like contagious bar fighting is always quite funny in films.
Well, it's contagious bar fighting, but then it becomes contagious like stampede because the majority of them just flee.
Yeah.
And there's and it gets to a point where there's a police helicopter hovering above, and it's
Oh,
like,
yeah. That's mad. Yeah.
yeah, like how would it escalate to that point where somebody would call the police? Help, there's a fat guy just beating up two people at this underground rave. Do something.
Yeah.
And
It
so
seems
Mark,
excessive.
yeah, so Marky Mark and Reese Witherspoon escape via the fire escape, whilst Margot runs off with Logan. Again, what is the appeal? And then they end up in his car. Now, this is a weird comparison. This is a weird point he's making about the car being, Reese Witherspoon points out, she says it's the model of car that like they stopped making because it explodes.
That's right.
And I was thinking, I know that's supposed to represent the character of David later on, how he's meant to be, but is this supposed to foreshadow something with the car?
Yeah, because he says that's why I drive it.
And you're like, oh, is this leading somewhere? Are we going to get an exploding car bit later on?
Yeah.
Never happens.
No, that would be good. That'd be
Yeah.
Chekhov's exploding car.
Yeah, because I mean, the rest of the
Yeah.
finale gets so over the top. You're like, why not just go the whole hog? Why not have an exploding car?
She should go. I've heard this is one of those cars that just keeps cutting out before it gets to the journey.
And then David goes, yeah, I think you know too much already at 16. Bye. And then the
Yeah.
end credits just roll.
Is he supposed to be? He's supposed to be her age, isn't he?
I think he's meant to be a bit older.
Right, because he
Just,
even goes to her school.
but that's, I think that's meant, but no, but I don't think he's meant to be a student there.
Right, he's just walking in.
Yeah, he's just walking in
Right.
with no security because he tells William Peterson, oh, I'm not at the school. I'm sort of in
Oh, yeah.
between
In
jobs.
between jobs, yeah.
Which makes it then harder to explain why they're just letting this psycho get onto a school and harass one of the students.
Yeah, it's not good.
So Reese Witherspoon says that after they kiss, this is actually a little sort of coming up to my curfew time. And David reaches over and turns her watch back half an hour. That'll bend time.
Yeah, well, he does it again later, so it's obviously his favorite thing to do.
Well, the second time it's worse though, because at least the first time he's doing it to a teenage girl who's impressionable. The
That's
second
true.
time he's doing it with a grown adult who should really have a computer on his, he should really have a clock on his computer and have his
Yeah.
watch out in full view and not covered up through paperwork.
Yeah, well, he's a busy man.
Well, yeah, but not busy enough to check his watch once in a while.
Mark
But
Wahlberg should phone Cher and say, I can turn back time. So,
yes.
forget your song.
Although I can't sing as well as you, that's where I
No.
fall down.
He could rap, though. I don't know if Cher can rap.
Even in the rapping part, I'd say 50-50.
Yeah,
Having
true.
heard him rap, it's a lot of it is like shouting to a beat.
He was in a. He had the Funky Bunch, didn't he? That was him.
He did, yeah. He
It was sort of like the
also,
Munch Bunch, but they did rapping instead.
yeah, and one of them committed hate crimes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That kind of puts a darker spin in the whole Funky Bunch thing.
I wouldn't have had the hate crime guy in the band. It's like when they're
Yeah.
putting together the Spice Girls, it was like Ginger, Sporty, hate crime. No, we don't need hate crime.
Yeah,
Waste fair
that.
with baby.
Yeah, that's only going to appeal to a few. That's going to. Yeah, we don't really want to appeal to the skinhead crowd.
Although these days you'd probably want someone with a hate crime in there.
Well, you know, somebody with the hate crime, you can get them elected.
Yes, right. Yeah, a bit of politics there.
I mean, yeah. Well, Marky Mark, I could we see him as a 2028 candidate?
No, he's too busy.
Phew, yeah, doing his straight to streaming films.
Yeah, well, he's got to get up at 2:30 in the morning. He hasn't got time to do any politics.
Well, he can always outsource
Well,
it.
he's a bit like her because he's a bit like Greg Wallace in that he has to make time for family time, I've noticed from his schedule.
Yeah, I can't see Mark Wahlberg playing RTS strategy games, though.
No, absolutely not.
He'd
No.
just lose patience. He'd be like, why am I getting anywhere? And just send all his army to attack the other base. His army of he's just created of a few men and then get shocked that he failed.
Yeah. Well, he'll be too busy having his cryo chamber recovery session.
Oh God,
Yeah.
yeah. Very relatable.
They're very.
Now, Marky Mark's turning back time leads to an argument between Nicole and Laura, where Laura commits her first big sort of step parenting fail by calling Nicole a slut for the makeup
Yes.
she's wearing, which I don't think she's wearing a lot.
No, not really. But
Yeah,
she's wearing
it.
a lot compared to her little brother.
Oh yeah, that's a very sort of high bar to cross. And yeah, not a good start for Laura, given that we're supposed to, I guess, like her later on. But a lot of the decisions she makes are just very bad sort of step parenting decisions. It's like whatever, it's like if they were doing like a guidance for step parents on YouTube, don't get Laura toast.
I'll put on the record now, controversially, I didn't like her at any point in this film, or anybody really, apart from maybe Marky Mark.
Oh, really?
No, I'm joking. It's a film populated really by a whole cast of unlikable people. Maybe the little brother gets away with it because he doesn't actually do anything.
Well, I mean, apart from that one point of the end, he's actually the most useful character in the film.
Yeah, he
All
is.
this other decision he makes are logical. He's
Yeah,
not shaming. He's not shaming anybody.
see what they're saying there are men are better even when they're young.
Yep.
And in many
Controversial.
ways, they're right.
Yep. Well, controversial statement, but yep, I can
Well,
get. Based on this film, yeah, I can get behind him. I can get behind that
yeah.
because Reese Witherspoon herself, kind of, you know, her logic isn't exactly great either.
No.
And to be fair, though, William Peterson does call Laura out on it, but then Laura then says, well, you go too easy on her.
Yeah.
And of course, he does get harder on her, but you know, later on that she then turns around and says, well, that's the wrong thing to do. It's like, make your mind up, for fuck's
Yeah.
sake, you know.
Come on. Come on.
Honestly, women.
Yeah, he's a bit hard on her friend as well later on. Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But now as the romance between David and Nicole grows, he wants to see her family and show, and so she invites him round, and he wins over Laura and Toby,
Yeah.
but David is but Stephen is getting suspicious.
Yeah, 'cause he's too good to be true.
Yeah, he's far too nice, immediately wanting to help with the gardening
He does that weird
and.
American thing of referring to the older people as sir.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
yeah. I find that really kind of a bit
Yeah.
skin crawly. I'm like,
Yeah.
he clearly wants something.
Yeah. Much
And
more interesting film if he was trying to seduce Stephen.
well, you know, there's a moment later on where you have to wonder because the way Marky Mark talks is kind of in this whispery tone, and he's quite close to William Peterson, and the way they are right at the end, that's a little more than grappling going on. But what's also interesting is in the there's this kind of there's this big scene between Marky Mark, William Peterson, and Alyssa Milano in the office in Peterson's office, and Alyssa Milano's coming on to him.
Yeah. She bends over in front of him and he has a good Benny Hill style.
And Marky Mark picks up on that. He's like, "Oh, aye."
He starts slapping the back of his head like Kenneth Connor.
Yep. And steam
Oh!
shoots out of his ears, and
That's
his
right,
eyes
yeah.
pop out, and his tongue
Yeah.
goes down, and he starts howling like a Tex Avery wolf.
Yeah. It's very subtle though. You blink and you miss it.
Yeah, but then in the
Yeah.
middle of that, Nicole comes in just to spoil his fun, and Stephen doesn't like the way Marky Mark talks to her.
No.
Which, to be fair, he is doing right in front of William Peterson. Although, because Marky Mark's kind of whispering his telling off Reese Witherspoon, it's kind of hard to pick up at first. So
Yeah.
maybe he just didn't hear him.
Yeah.
So, but William Peterson then reminds Marky Mark of the curfew, and when his back is turned, Marky Mark does an incredibly complex way act of subterfuge. He just sticks his hand onto William Peterson's little wind-up clock and turns the minute hand back half an hour.
Yeah, I mean, traditionally, the only people that tend to do that are evil Mogwai.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe he wanted to eat her after midnight.
But it's interesting though, you don't see Mark, but you do see him getting wet though later on.
They
So
do, yeah.
that kind of puts that theory out.
Yeah, sorry, put that to bed.
Although in saying that though, Zach Galligan is a lot smarter than William Peterson is, because again, why does he not have a clock on his computer?
Yeah, it's maybe computers in those days didn't have a clock on them.
Yeah, but you'd think even back then he'd have a little digital readout, or he'd have
Yeah.
his watch at least.
He's so buried in work, you see, Adam. He's not going to check the time. He's a busy
Yeah,
man. He's
even
got to get
though,
in his cryo chamber.
absolutely, because that's,
Yeah.
yeah, William Peterson is like his little cryo chamber.
Yeah, he's got to have his post-workout meal, shower, and golf session.
Yeah, that's yeah, I think there's something, that's maybe what we're doing wrong. That's maybe why
Yeah.
we're not like William Peterson and Mark Wahlberg. We're not getting
That's
our
it.
cryo in.
That's it. Yeah, get your cryo in, everybody. Roy Orbison wrote a song about it.
Did he?
Yeah, it's called Cryo.
Oh yeah, cryo
Cryo
over
without you.
you.
There you
Well,
go.
he had the eyewear for cryo.
He did. He
The
did.
big
He's always wore his
glasses.
sunglasses. Yeah.
Yep. So
Yeah.
he wouldn't even need the little goggles. He'd just,
No.
although he would need a mask.
He would. He would. He was a very poorly man.
Yeah, he was. Died very young.
Did.
Lost his
Yeah.
family in a car, lost his family in a house fire.
That's right. Yeah. God, tragic life.
Yeah, but then late in his later years, he formed a band with George Harrison and
That's right.
ELO's Jeff Lynne.
That's right. Bob Dylan.
Yep.
Yeah. So, fact, update your fact books at home, everyone.
Yep. What's and
Yeah.
also the Traveling Wilburys sounds like the kind of name you'd hear at a fairground,
It
which is
does.
where David and Nicole are. Good
Excellent
segue.
segue. Yeah. And he takes her on the wanking roller coaster.
He does.
Yeah.
Now, the only kind of negative part I have to say about this bit is Reese Witherspoon did an interview
Yeah, I
where she
read that.
said that was something that the director thought of on the day, and she refused to shoot the moment where he's actually fingering her, like the insert
Yeah.
shots. That's a double, but presumably she had to fake the orgasm when she's going
Yeah.
down.
I'm glad it wasn't the other way around, because I'd hate to have been behind him on the roller coaster at the point of arrival.
Oh, fuck.
Like Splash Mountain.
Well, also the noises he'd make.
Yeah, he
Can you
would.
imagine? Very
Also,
kind
he'd be
of.
like, I haven't put this in my schedule, so we'll have to come back to this tomorrow and I'll give
Yeah.
you half an hour.
And the whole film just pauses.
Yeah.
The
I've
film
got I got
literally pauses in real time for half an hour.
2:45, you can wake me off on a roller coaster, but after that, I've got to have my cryo chamber recovery session.
And Reese Witherspoon's just left there at the top of a roller coaster. It's just stopped. Everyone's sort of gone off on their coffee break. Whilst he's taking half an hour, and she's just looking at her watch, going, "Really?"
And his assistant's there, and there's been an admin error because he's written it down wrong, and he's written down that he's getting wanked off with a spoon. So it's all very confusing.
And they're having to find a spoon, but they're trying to work out, is it metal? Is it metal? Is it
Yeah,
wooden?
or
Stainless?
would a spork be all right?
What about a plastic spatula that you use for digging ready meals out that's stuck to the pan, that's stuck
Two
to
of
the
them.
tray?
The logistics are mind-boggling, but yeah, that's he's a strict man for his admin.
Oh, also he also wins a prize at the shooting game, the peace pipe, which
Yes.
is probably the sharpest peace pipe in existence.
That's right. It also symbolizes the how sharp the peace plan was with the Native Americans. Later on, they were stabbed in the back, Adam.
So there's a bit of political symbolism coming in here. So this 1996 erotic thriller was a little
So
more woke than we
that's
think.
right. Don't think we hadn't noticed James Foley.
Ah, yes. We saw you putting your woke messages in, your
That's
DEI
it.
nonsense.
And because you're a Foley artist, you were very big on the sound effects in this film.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, good for you.
So what happens is because Steven's cocked up with his time scheduling, he's been fooled by the power of moving a minute hand back half an hour.
He's
He's
fed
got
his mogwais.
fed
Now
his
they're
mog.
all cocooned up.
They're all cocooned up, they're
He's
safe.
livid.
But him and Laura are going away to Vancouver to catch up on business,
Lovely.
leaving Nicole and Toby home alone.
That's right. No, Papa and Nicole are apart for the first time. He's gone off on his Renault.
Which means Nicole is home alone with the obnoxious, although not so obnoxious, Macaulay Culkin clone.
He is what the French would call l'incompetent.
Although I think a French version would have Gérard Depardieu as William Peterson. As William Peterson and Mark Wahlberg's role.
I thought you were going to say as one of the wet bandits, he'd be quite good in the Joe Pesci role.
He was very good at slapstick for a fat guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. I
He
mean,
did.
he took it a bit literally.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he interesting fella, Monsieur Depardieu.
He certainly is.
But Nicole is home alone and, of course, bored of just being stuck with Toby. And this family have a Neo Geo games console,
Yes.
which
And we should say they live in a compound, like a security gated compound.
William Peterson built himself because he's an
Yes.
architect. He designed it.
He, as an architect, some people call him perverted.
But he's a guy with anger management problems. He built a literal fortress for his family, and you're
That's right.
thinking that you shouldn't really be able to get into, that's almost
No.
impenetrable. And you're like,
Yeah.
how are you not the bad guy?
Well, exactly. Exactly.
So maybe Mark Wahlberg was representing the proletariat,
Wow.
getting back at the upper middle class, wasting money on building themselves fortresses.
This film's got everything. See, people would waste their time watching Land of the Dead when they could just watch William Peterson in Fear.
Well, I'll go one better. Why watch Parasite?
Oh,
You
yeah,
know,
of course.
Bong Joon-ho should have given that Oscar to James Foley.
That's right. He should have had a wank on a roller coaster. That's what he should have done.
That would have improved Parasite even
That's
more.
right. Much better.
You know,
Because many
forget.
people would say that's what it's missing.
Yeah, because forget all that allegory stuff. What you need is
Yeah.
what Bong should have had is wank on a roller coaster and decapitated dog.
That's right. And he should have smoked a bong. Am I right?
Ah, yep. Budumtish. So, because Nicole's bored with the Neo Geo in her awesome compound, with only her little stepbrother for company, she invites David over and stupidly gives him the keypad code, which is a ridiculously easy one to remember.
How did he get past the security guard as well, though?
Yeah, well, the security guard, to be fair, they do show him watching TV, like sitcoms, so I don't think
But
he's
they make
very
a big
good.
deal at the beginning of when William Peterson leaves. He's like, "Morning, Walter or Charlie, whatever his name is," and he's like, "Morning." So he's on duty. So how did
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg get past him? Come and have talk, the daughter.
My guess is that he was just busy watching, I don't know, a marathon of Roseanne or something on TV, and
Or
it
if
was a
it's a
little.
film, westerns.
Yeah, he looks like a Western fan, doesn't he? He's like a
Because
big
quite often
middle-aged
when the,
guy.
yeah, when they're watching a film in a movie, you hear, that's what you hear a lot.
Yeah, you see, they missed a trick by having him doing that.
Yeah.
But
And the
they,
bass pipe. Yeah.
yep. But Mark Wahlberg, Marky Mark, comes in and takes Reese Witherspoon's virginity.
It does.
I like how it's kind of shot in an unsettling way, this scene.
Yes, it is. It's very unsettling. He walks into her room while she's asleep, pulls the covers back, has a look at her, goes through all her jewelry, and he takes her daddy's little girl bracelet.
Not in subtle foreshadowing.
No, exactly. And then, as you say, sort of clambers on her, and they make love.
And she also kind of looks like she's in pain for some of it. Like
Yeah.
it's presented as, like obviously it's meant to be foreshadowing, but I think it's quite effective.
I think what it is that he is still freezing from his cryo chamber recovery session.
Yeah, and
So it's like,
she's got frostbite down there.
it's like sometimes when you, if you've got a MacBook and it's a cold day and you put it on your lap and you're like, oh, it's
Yeah.
freezing.
But she's got that like sustained now. She's
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
oh, David, please, can you just sit yourself by the fire a bit? Just kind of,
Yeah.
squat by the fire, get that area warm a bit.
She ends up like Mr. Freeze's wife. She has to live
And
in a permanent frozen cube.
has to wait for George Clooney to cure her.
Yes, that's it.
Oh, that's maybe, well, this film did come out a year before Batman and Robin, which had a
Yeah.
rushed production schedule, so,
Yeah.
maybe. Maybe Joel
Maybe.
Schumacher was like, this would make for a good prequel.
Sitting in the, he shared Marky Mark's cryo chamber recovery session. And overheard him talking about it and said, oh, I'll borrow that.
And whilst looking down at Marky Mark's crotch and licking his
Yeah.
lips.
Yeah. Reminds me,
So,
fish fingers for tea.
oh yeah. So the next day, Nicole and Gary are talking outside the school. David sees them and gets the green-eyed monster and starts beating up Gary. And
Yeah.
then it's awkwardly choreographed because in between, he kind of shoves Reese Witherspoon, knocks Reese Witherspoon to the ground as well in a move that feels kind of awkwardly choreographed. Like I think it's meant to be he does it by accident, but it feels
Yeah.
like it's deliberate.
Yeah. Also, I was reading that they were going, oh, we were going to try and make it more explicit that Gary is gay. And I was like, well, I just assumed he is. I thought you
Yeah.
did your job there, really.
I mean, he's a guy in a 90s film who's portrayed
Yeah.
as sensitive and not really interested in Reese Witherspoon sexually. So, yeah.
Yeah. And best friends with a girl, which is always 90s code for I am a gay man. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, they may as well have had him just wear pink and,
Yeah.
just wear pink and, yeah, just singing YMCA as he enters the scene.
Although that's different meaning now, that song, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, well that would mean
Yeah.
he's a hardcore MAGA.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Trump is. I mean, just to go off topic a bit, which is underestimating what we've done so
Yeah.
far. Trump's kind of AC/DC, isn't he?
I don't think he was ever in the band, no.
Aha, yeah. That is true. I don't think he. Yeah, I can't really see him playing guitar.
No, although on Epstein's Island, they probably saw quite a few people in short trousers.
Yep, and unfortunately, one of them was Chris Tucker multiple
Yeah.
times.
Must have been awkward on that plane home, all that lot on there.
Yeah, listening to Chris Tucker doing his Michael Jackson impression for the 100th time.
100th time and doing his Ruby Rod, whatever it was called, from
Yeah.
Fifth Element.
Oh,
Oh
God.
my God.
So obviously Nicole is not happy with David
As you wouldn't be.
beating the shit out of her friend. So she
Yeah.
says, leave me alone, you psycho. And then the next day, when Laura's back from their extended honeymoon in Vancouver, Nicole tries poorly to cover up a black eye. And I think Laura clearly figures out that something's gone on.
Yeah, well, she tells her it was like gym class, like an accidental kick in gym class.
Yeah, but surely you would see right through that because it's not a very convincing explanation.
Well, no, it's not, no.
And Laura kind of gets Nicole just to cover it up. by hiding the bruises.
Which sort of speaks to Laura having gone through that as well, because she goes, "Oh, I know just the thing," or something. "We'll fix that up.
That's weird. I thought
Your
that's
dad thumps
maybe.
me all the time. I've got just the makeup here."
Yeah, that's sort of weird. It's like, okay, that's not very constructive advice to give your teenage stepdaughter.
Not really, no. But it's a bond. What we're trying to introduce here is they are now bonding slightly.
Bonding over covering up abuse.
Well, it's got to start somewhere.
That's a very low place to start, kind of somewhere below the earth, heading towards China.
Well, you can only go up, can't you?
That's true. Although in this case, it's kind of marginally up and sideways in the case of this
Plateauing.
film. Very much plateauing. And then the next day, because there was no school security back in pre-Columbine America,
No.
David breaks in and leaves a note for Nicole, wanting to meet up. And of course, she quite rightly turns him down. But then, however, we then go to David's gang's house. And what's weird is that this house, it's implied it's owned by Logan's dad.
What's weird as well is the guy answering the door is a character called Nobby,
Yeah, the names are
who's
weird.
played by Jed Reese, who's from he's the "We Need Your Help" from Galaxy Quest.
Oh yeah, so he is. He's the Thermion, isn't he?
He is. I mean, he's a very weird looking man, bless him. But it's really weird seeing him with like kind of like 90s floppy hair and a baseball cap on, because I'm so used to seeing him, "We need your help."
Yeah, as a weird alien. Yeah, that's. I mean, I suppose it shows how versatile he is, but
But I guess it
blimey.
also sort of shows that this must have been filmed in Canada, because I'm pretty sure he's in Deadpool as well, because that was also filmed in Canada.
Yeah, I mean, the film is set in the Seattle area, and I'm guessing Canada's basically the same, so.
Basically the same, isn't it? It's all green and wet.
Yeah, and all kind of like pine foresty and hipstery and lots of white people-y.
Okay,
Not very.
literally.
Not.
David's bedroom, though, is like an army bed with a little bedside table and then just loads of pictures of Nicole.
Showing how obsessed he is with her. But it's interesting, though. I guess he's not like the leader of. Is he the leader of the group?
I don't know. I think Logan might be sort of the alpha.
Oh, really? Because, I
I think.
mean, really?
Because the reason he can't come and see Nicole that night is because he says he has to do something with the guys, which sort of makes me think that he's like being told. I don't know.
Because
Maybe he is.
later on, David kind of takes control, and he's the only one that's sort of in shape.
Yeah, it's true. He is.
Because he tells the knobby guy that, I'm not leaving this place because of Nicole.
Although one of the gang, the blonde one, I was thinking, where do I know him from? I looked up. He's in Summer School.
Is he?
He's one of the. Have you seen Summer School?
No, I thought you were talking about your summer school there. I was
Oh
like, what?
no. There's a film called Summer School, like an 80s comedy, and there are two lads in it who are both obsessed with horror movies. One's called Chainsaw, and the other one's called shit. I can't remember his name, but he's the other one. He's this weird looking blonde lad, but he's one of Logan's gang.
Was that film made in Canada?
Oh, I don't know. It might have been.
Must have been. Because I think there's only so much Canadian talent to go around, so
Yeah,
they
it's
just
true.
get you just see them pop up in all these films. What's also weird is what is David's gang like? What criminal activity are they doing? Because I was trying to work out.
Yeah, you never know. I assume it's drugs, because they
I
talk
thought
about walking a dog at one point, don't they?
it was dogfighting because the guys that
Maybe.
come up at the beginning of the scene want to see a man about a dog.
That's it, yeah.
And you see them earlier on when David's talking to Nicole, he's stroking like a pit bull in a car. And I thought, oh, maybe it's illegal
Oh,
dogfighting.
maybe it's that, yeah.
But then later on, it's like William Peterson calls them a cartel. And it's like, oh, so clearly it must be more than that. It must be drugs.
Or maybe there's what the bloke who drives the car is called Tell.
Yep. It's yeah, he's trying to get Tell's car from him.
It's cartel. Hey, Tell, slow down.
All right, Tell, mate, give us your car.
Mark Wahlberg has a giant, as well as a shrine to Nicole, he's got a giant crucifix.
Which
Like the only,
he must have added that. That's clearly from
yes.
him.
Yeah, I'm just seeing, I'm looking at his schedule. He does pray for half an hour. So yeah, he added that.
So he did that literally on set.
Yeah.
In between takes, he's just praying, and anybody that interrupts him gets blinded in the eye.
That's it. And I think that crucifix is so big that it's the sort of crucifix that will keep away one and a third of a vampire.
And all of the Vietnamese community.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And also
Okay.
black community, because he did
Yeah.
racist stuff against black people as well.
Oh God.
And gay people, because he turned down Brokeback Mountain.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he turned it down because it was too much for him.
Yeah, wow. Bit of a mouthful.
In more ways than one.
Yeah, I think I read that this part was offered to Leonardo DiCaprio, wasn't it? And he
Yeah,
went,
Leo
no,
was
thanks.
offered it, but then he suggested Marky Mark, who he'd worked with
Yeah.
and been on not Boondock
Basketball.
Saints, Basketball Diaries, that's
Yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Not Boondock Saints, what I'm on
No.
about.
No.
A very different film from Basketball Diaries and much more inferior.
Yeah. Yeah, God, for God's sakes.
Oh, that's yeah, that is oh blimey. Willem Dafoe's good in it, at least. The only good
Yeah.
thing.
And it's, oh, yeah. It
I mean,
annoys me. It's one of those films.
I'm trying to get miscast Billy Connolly out of my head.
Oh, God, yeah.
He's the mob boss in it.
That's right. He turns up at the end, doesn't he? Jesus, I
Yeah, it's
forgot
the
about
big
that.
boss.
He turns up and says, "Hey, lads, don't you hate it when your pubes go green?"
And everybody's like, what are you? Irish, Scottish, Welsh? What's
Yeah,
your
yeah.
accent?
It's America. No one knows.
Well, back to the film. David sends Nicole flowers, which she rejects.
Puts them
And
straight in the bin.
that sets off Laura's radar that, uh-oh, maybe the black eye wasn't from gym class. I don't think David is a nice man.
No.
So when Nicole's crying in bed, she comforts him and gets the truth about him being violent. And William Peterson comes in and is obviously not happy to find out this information secondhand.
Well, he'd also sort of guessed, hadn't he? Because he says, I guess he also gave you the black eye.
Yeah. And he also finds a condom wrapper underneath the bed and
Yeah.
is
I
obviously.
dropped this Titan condom for my massive dong.
Yep. Oh, better
Yep.
pocket that. Better blame it on my daughter having sex with
Yeah.
Marky Mark.
Yeah, exactly.
And but what's weird is that when he gets angry about this to Laura, she's like, you can't tell her daughter, you can't tell your daughter what to do. And it's like, yeah, he can. She's 16. Not an adult. And also, you designed this massive fucking compound. You can lock her up anywhere.
Yeah, I can go full fucking Fritzl if I want.
Absolutely. Yeah,
Yeah.
keep her in the basement.
Yeah, I've got a shovel, don't you worry. I've got a security camera everywhere.
Also tell her how to sell the media rights to a story when I get
Yeah.
arrested.
Yeah.
Give her a guide on how to become a media sensation.
Yeah. We can market Fritzl Schnitzels. No one will
Exactly.
buy them, but we can market them.
I can fake a German accent because I'm a good actor.
Yeah.
I performed in the stage and everything.
I was Pat Garrett in Young Guns 2, to
Yep.
have you know.
And also one of the main bad guys in the Paul Walker film, The Skulls.
Oh, I've not seen that.
It's actually not bad for a Paul Walker film about
Right.
the secret society that George Bush belonged to.
Oh, right. Okay.
I don't think it's meant to be a factual, it's not meant to be completely accurate, although I'm sure there's some truth in it. It's pretty good.
Does Paul Walker blow up at the end?
Sadly not, but I
No,
think
I'm
he
not
I,
interested then.
but you just get involved in a sword fight
Oh, okay, fine. Fine.
and you get to see him kind of do boxing.
Oh, great.
So what happens is that because of Stephen coming down hard, Nicole goes a full 180 and suddenly really likes David now.
Yeah.
And at Margot's house, he apologizes to her, and it's all good.
He says, I didn't know that guy was your friend. I just saw a guy with his hands all over you. So I was very normal in
Yeah.
that I pushed him to the floor, punched him, and then kicked him at least 7 times
Totally
rather
normal
than saying,
behavior.
"Hey, who are you?"
Totally normal rational behavior from
And she's
somebody
like,
who's not abusive.
"Yeah." And she's like, "Oh, all right then."
And just before that, we've got Margot telling Reese Witherspoon that, oh, so he hits you. That's just their way of saying he loves you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Great. I like the really good relationship advice Reese Witherspoon has given throughout this film. Very.
Yeah.
The sort of thing Gen Z need to maybe learn.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, if someone tells you that their boyfriend has hit them, it's best to just go, "That's fine."
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you deal with the likes of Andrew Tate.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, at the
Just.
end of the day, blame the person getting hit. That's a good idea.
Yeah, just roll over and give in to them.
Yeah.
Yep. This, oh, by the way, this routine has been brought to you by the Irony Corporation.
Jesus
Just to say,
Christ.
just putting the
Yeah.
irony disclaimer in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, oh, the writing in this is all over the shop.
Yeah, this as you said at the beginning, it's tonally mental. And we haven't even got to the tip of the iceberg yet.
Oh yeah, I mean it gets better. But so Stephen comes home from work and sees David, not only with Nicole and eyeballing him as he's sort of kissing her, but also pushing Laura into the pool and Laura
Yeah.
getting turned on by it.
Yeah. He manhandles her.
I mean, it's a very bold move to basically cock your girlfriend's dad, who you're
Yeah.
already on frosty terms with, in his house, in his swimming pool, with his
Yeah.
daughter and wife half naked.
Yeah. But then Laura does make the point, which I think is in isolation, if this guy wasn't a psychopath, a good point. You'd rather she was lying and running off and going off with him. Why not have him here?
Which would make sense
Yeah.
if he wasn't an aggressive psychopath and it wasn't shown in
Yeah.
the past.
Yeah, that's right.
And if she hadn't have said, you need to set down greater boundaries, you need to be firmer on Nicole, it's like make up your mind, woman, for fuck's sake,
Yeah. I think at this point it would be interesting if the dad went, "You know what, Laura? You know what my favorite thing in the world is? Our dog's head." And she's like, "All right, yeah." And he's like, "I'm just putting it out there."
Yeah, and she's like, point taken, I'll just tell
Yeah.
David to fuck off then, and the film could
Yeah.
end.
Yes.
Because I do quite like a German Shepherd, I mean, it's not exactly one of these pit bulls.
No, exactly. An elegant beast.
Yeah, it's not going to munch Toby's arm off when he's playing Street Fighter on Super Super Street Fighter on the Neo Geo, which only
Neo
we could
Geo.
afford.
Yeah.
I
Neo
mean,
Geo was.
yeah, that the choice of that games console was clearly to show the family's loaded.
Yeah. Neo Geo was a console that you'd get 2 buses to go over and play. Definitely.
Well, it's the kind of thing you'd rip open an arcade cabinet to play. Because wasn't it basically like an arcade,
Yeah.
but except it was kind of semi-portable and you could play it in your home for like 400 quid?
Yeah, it was basically arcade quality games, yeah.
Although the sound design on the game, the Street Fighter game Tony's playing is shit. It's like
Yeah.
Atari level.
Yeah, it is. Off which.
So outside the school, David is waiting, but he's confronted by Stephen. And William Peterson does a really good job of playing Stephen as an unhinged psychopath.
Yes.
Yeah, threatening to rip off your daughter's boyfriend's balls and shove it down his throat.
Yes.
And David goes surprisingly on PC for Marky Mark, using a word which I cannot repeat because
No.
I quite like to be funded. I quite
The
like I
F
quite I
word.
quite yes,
Yeah.
and not the FUCK word.
No. The derogatory slur.
Yep.
He says, "I thought you were a derogatory slur."
Which quite rightly, William Peterson is like, "What did you just say?"
Yeah.
And then Marky Mark basically demasculates Peterson to his face, saying, "I've got your daughter, I've got your wife. You're not doing well in your job. You're fucked, mate.
You're not looking after your wife's needs.
And obviously, he's going to be trimming her bushes, so to speak.
I'm going to get her in my cryo chamber. Give her some recovery.
I'm gonna pray at her altar.
That's right. Going to have a shower with her for an hour and a half.
I'm gonna wall her burger. Because
Oh
he
yeah, I
own
forgot about Wahlburgers. Yeah.
Yeah, because it was in order to open a new branch, that was when his racist crimes came to light. Because he tried to get a pardon so that he could open another branch of his shitty burger chain.
Yeah. It was with his brother, wasn't it? Was it Donnie?
One of the Wahlbergs, there's so many of them. There's
Yeah.
Donnie's the actor, and I think there's one that's a chef.
Oh, right. Yeah. But I like what I do like about this is that Wahlberg's very good in this bit.
He
And
is.
when Pearson drives off after threatening him, saying, "You'll never see my daughter again," the decision here he makes, obviously it's a director's decision, but he plays it so well of like thumping his own chest in a really
Yeah.
unhinged way.
Yeah, it's quite gradual. It's almost like he's not in control of his arm. It's like thump.
Yeah. I was like, this is pretty good. Like his performance is pretty good.
Yeah, and I'm like, how much of this is you playing an exaggerated version of yourself, but how much of this is you coming up with your own stuff?
But this is meant to frame the dad for bruise, punching
Beating.
him and bruising him. Yeah.
Yeah, and it works obviously well on Nicole, who's incredibly, even for a 16-year-old, she is quite naive. And and just before this, there's a funny bit where Peterson's talking to his lawyer about getting a restraining order on David. He also found out about David lying about his past. He hasn't got happy families from a broken home, being in foster care. But he's asking the lawyer about getting a restraining order on David. And the lawyer's like, "Do you think your daughter was ever going to stay a virgin?" Right to Peterson's face. I thought that's a bold move.
It is, yeah. For a man that we did see earlier is mildly unhinged as well.
Yeah,
That is a bold move.
a bold move for somebody who wants to keep all of his teeth. So back to Nicole getting angry with Stephen for beating up David, and of course drives off with Marky Mark whilst David once again lashes out. But then after they've made out in David's non-exploding car, Nicole is going to go back home, but then decides to drive by Marky Mark's place, where she sees a strung-out Margot with Logan giving her a crack pipe, and then sees David sexually assault her and carry her off to basically rape her, and then comes to the genius decision that she's having an affair with David. So is she blind and deaf completely?
She's just very naive.
Yeah, but surely when you see, I don't know, somebody who's clearly strung out being forced to say she loves somebody and being carried off, surely you'd put two and two together and think, oh, my boyfriend's a rapey, really, and my best friend is a victim.
Well, she's stupid.
Yeah, but it's a massive flaw in the film because it comes up later on. It's what drives the characters of Nicole and Margot apart. And you're like, could you not see what was going on through the window? Was rape not a thing in 1996? It's very strange. So the next day at school, Nicole is eating lunch with Gary when David kind of comes up behind her. And sort of comes up behind her to surprise her. However, Nicole isn't having any of it because she thinks that David's being unfaithful when that's the least worst thing about him. And Gary comes between them, which puts him on David's hit list.
Also, David must smell of crack. I imagine he's got a
Yeah.
very pungent smell.
So basically, Gary's like, oh, I want to know what this stuff smells like. I want to get high.
Yeah, he stands up for himself. He George McFlys the situation.
Although very poorly, as we later see, as we later see. And then back at the house, Margot pays a visit. And well, what's weird about the opening to this scene is she tries to seduce Toby, even mockingly, and it's like, I think we're maybe a little past the point to play the Margot as a slot angle. I think that's not what she would be saying at this point in time.
No.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a weird tonal thing to have, weird tonal decision to have at the beginning of the scene where she's arguing with her best friend about whether she got raped.
It's as you say, it's just all over the place.
Yeah, because then Nicole said, "How dare you sleep with David?" And Margot's like, "What? No, he raped me. Please, you've got to believe me." And then, Nicole, turns her back on her. And then Margot drives off in tears, only to be followed by David. And I like the car chase scene. But that whole scene that happens afterwards is really tense.
Yeah, he play again, he plays it really well.
And it's like balls of the build up to it, where he's like forcing the car off the road, and Alyssa Milano's more and more frantic and upset. And then where he's pulling, slamming her up against her car and saying, "You liked it, and you need to shut up about this," and threatening her. He's very good. And
Well, he wants to know what she's told her, but obviously she hasn't told her anything. He doesn't know. Well, they both don't know that she was there and saw it.
And it's a shame. It's kind of frustrating, really, because there are moments like this which really stand out and are like heads and shoulders above a lot of the logical flaws that this film has. And
Well,
I
I
wrote.
do wonder how much of them, when they got the dailies back and when they were editing it together, though, I wonder how much of them was like, God, we should have given Marky Mark more scenes like this, because he does do it really well.
He does, and you can see why after this he went on to doing bigger and better things, even if his acting is kind of limited. Like, I think if he's given the right direction, then he can do really well, like in Boogie Nights and The Departed.
Well, he's Oscar nominated for The Departed, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, and he's great in that. And I think being cast in the right role, I mean, hopefully he's not like David in real life, I mean, that we know of. But he's
No.
certainly able to make the character convincing. And Alyssa Milano is very good as well. I mean, for somebody who only 2 years before was in the shit Double Dragon film, she's fantastic.
That's true. Yeah, forgot about that.
Yeah, it's a big step up going from, acting opposite whatever she was acting opposite in that film to what she's doing here.
What was the big TV series that she was in after this?
Was
Oh,
it the.
Charmed.
Oh, yes, Charmed, yeah, with
Charmed,
Ro Rose McGowan.
and the late Shannon Doherty.
Yeah. Yeah, shame she's gone.
It is. Yeah, showed me money.
Yeah.
She didn't really.
No. But after threatening Margot, David goes to Nicole's house and asks Stephen if he can come in and explain himself. Stephen wisely tells him to fuck off. And then David goes back to his place and carves Nicole forever on his chest.
It's really fun. Also, continuity error.
Well, what continuity error?
Well, he punched himself to make him bruised, didn't he?
Ah,
When he
yeah.
takes his shirt off, there's not one bruise on that chest.
Should have hit harder.
Yeah, but he carves Nicole forever and rubs ink into it, so it's now a tattoo.
Which is interesting because we don't see the tattoo ever again.
No.
It's a bit of a missed opportunity. It'd been good if, like, in the final scene, climax, he whips his shirt off, and Reese Witherspoon's like, "Ah, you really are fucking crazy."
He should have had a whole face like in Alan Partridge with Jed Maxwell.
Yeah. Well, he also should have had a Geordie sidekick. Who's should have had a Geordie sidekick as well.
That could have been Logan.
Yeah, because we don't hear him talk much, do we?
No.
Although Marky Mark would have thought he was a weird foreigner and beaten him up.
He would have done, Because he went to Stephen's car later on and he wrote Cock Piss Partridge on it.
Yeah, and he also wrote "Stop Getting Bond Wrong." And Spy Who Loved Me should be on the top AFI top 100 best films.
That's right, yeah. I want to watch him. I want. Oh, sorry, Alan. I really wanted to watch America's Strongest Man, but now you've got Norfolk's Maddest Man.
Although, to be fair, America's Strongest Man, you're not missing much.
No.
Although another continuity error as well, a bit of a plot hole is he's obsessed with Nicole as David, but then what's with that whole business with Margot? Is
Wow.
that, surely he should be a one-track guy,
Wow,
one-track,
drugs,
one-girl
innit?
guy. Yeah, but he's not on drugs.
No.
He's stone cold sober. He's like Marky Mark in real life.
That's right. Maybe he wasn't having sex with her. Maybe he was taking her to some cryo recovery.
Yeah, and
The
making her do
deserts.
it. She wakes up and she's got this blue light and suddenly feels incredibly cold
Yeah, he was going to make her a wall burger.
and feels the urge to post an Instagram reel. And then she's like, oh, Marky Mark's got to me.
There you
He's gone into my mind.
go.
So the next day after school, Gary takes the wise decision to take a shortcut through a very dense forest.
Yeah. And
And
again, I know I'm repeating myself, but Mark Wahlberg plays this scene really, really well. It's like he's fucking terrifying.
yeah, where he's rambling on to Gary about how
About
many,
walls.
yeah, about no wall can keep me from Nicole, including a
Because
pink fleshy one.
I'm Wahlberg, I should say.
I'm going to turn you into Wahlburger.
Yeah, there you go.
And he does, after rambling about his criminal past, he chases Gary. And even Mark Wahlberg at this time couldn't be strong enough to do this. He throws him halfway across the frame, then snaps his neck like Seagal. Like he absorbed the power of Steven Seagal, and this
It's a very,
suddenly
yeah.
very Seagalian, isn't it?
It is a very Seagal move. Seagal's whole thing was throw someone, and then when they run at you, slap them and throw them again. That was his whole credo.
Although in saying that, Wahlberg weighs about the half the size of Seagal did back then.
That's true.
Because in the same year this film came out, Seagal made The Glimmer Man,
Oh, yeah.
which I'm going to cover in a future episode. And yeah, Steve-O's looking a bit hefty there.
Yeah, he is. That was one of his last theatrical films, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was this one, Executive Decision, and Fire Down Below, and that was it.
Yeah, that was it.
Oh no, then he did Exit Wounds with DMX.
Oh, yes, of course.
Who could forget?
Me.
Well, I didn't. I, for some reason, for I mean, the reason why I'm doing this podcast is I sadly remember stuff like that.
Yeah, of course.
It's my gift and my curse.
Someone's got to.
I know, it's a tough job. And
The
it's
world needs
also,
archivists.
oh, absolutely. But this is the first hint of a tint that the film is slightly going off the rails reality-wise. Marky Mark turning into Stevie S.
I mean, it's just, I mean, when, as you say, this is a bit like, oh, bloody hell. Well, later on. I mean, I'll wait till we get there, but fucking hell.
Yeah, it's. I like the twist. I like the fact that it amps up, though. I mean, it's unrealistic, but it's a fun kind of unrealistic. I'm going, actually, this may be tonally inappropriate, but there's something strangely fun and entertaining about this. I don't know if you felt the same or if you're slightly horrified by my opinion.
No. I just thought it's just. Well, I'll wait till we get there.
Okay. Well, back at the other side of town, Steve-O has just come off work. And he finds that his car's been wrecked. And instead of funny quotes from a British TV show, Marky Mark's put, "Now I've popped both your cherries" on his wrecked car. Which then means he gets his mate's car, calls Margot on the phone, the traumatized Margot, reminding her of David by asking where does he live. And now this is where I think the character of David is like Marky Mark in terms of his schedule, because he's able to go from the forest very quickly to the shopping mall where Nicole is and her mum is. No, not Nicole and her mum, his stepmom.
Her stepmother,
Yeah, because they're nowhere near that close. And he threatens her in the toilets, which is again very well acted.
Horrible.
Very creepy and very realistic, which sticks out from what we've got earlier with Gary, because he's basically saying the same stuff as what he said to Gary, nobody can keep me apart from you, but in a much more realistic context. And then that's intercut with Stephen going into David's gang's place, finding not only the little daddy's girl bracelets, which has now got David's girl on it, but and David must have a hell of a good Photoshop skills for 96, because he's got a family photograph of Stephen's family, but he's replaced Stephen with him.
It's like that Seinfeld episode where
Which
there's one where George's boss, George is in the background of one of his boss's pictures. And
Oh.
he it was when he had an argument with a guy on the beach. So he gets the guy at the Snappy Snaps place to remove him. But then when he gets the photos back, he's removed the boss, but not him. Anyway.
All right, I thought you were gonna talk about that one episode when Kramer went on his racist rant at the comedy club.
Oh no, sadly that wasn't canon.
And then did an incoherent apology on
Yeah.
David Letterman.
That's right. Why are you laughing?
Yeah, which then got memed.
Yeah, goodness me.
Which is still on YouTube, surprisingly, even though the N-word gets said a lot of times.
Yeah, blimey. Dark times.
Dark times, but strangely funny times as well. It's
Yeah,
the only
in the
time
worst way.
I've ever laughed at Michael Richards, though. I hate to say it.
Oh.
I just didn't find the guy funny, apart from
Oh.
when he did that apology in the little N-word mashup that was on YouTube.
Oh, I found him really funny. I thought he was great.
I don't know. I mean,
Love.
I liked him in Problem Child, but I was very young when I saw that film. But yeah, this is also around about the time when Stephen becomes the main protagonist.
Yes.
Nicole kind of takes a bit more of a back seat, which is kind of a shame because, I mean, Reese Witherspoon's pretty good in the film, but it just seems sort of weird that, like, in a film about a toxic relationship, the female character kind of takes second banana,
Yes.
really, to
Yeah.
her dad. Even if he is William Peterson, who is a badass.
Yeah. But kind of like not like huge by 96, though.
No, because he'd only really done Manhunter, which hadn't been reclaimed as a cult classic, I don't think, at that point.
No, definitely not.
But Stephen uses his Steve rage to trash the place, and when David's gang find it, they're like,
It's like fucking Goldilocks. It's like he smashed up my telly. He broke my drum kit. He broke my pool cue. And he's like, he ruined my wank shrine.
Except that in this version, except in this version, the three bears go to Goldilocks' house and fuck shit up.
Yeah, this is where I'm like, it's just weird because they go there with the intention of it being tit for tat, let's go and smash up his place. But within 5 minutes, it's murder.
Oh yeah, like they've chopped off the dog's head.
Yes,
And
yes.
stuck it through the doggy door to make it seem like the dog's responding to the whistle that Toby's
Yeah.
blowing, but then kind of tip it through.
How do they hear the dog whistle?
Yeah, good point, because it's a
Yeah.
silent one, but
Silent whistle.
only the dog should hear that.
Maybe it's a racist dog whistle,
Yeah, and
and they're
Marky
all
Mark,
racist.
well, Marky Mark's their de facto leader, so they would be. And also, the family kind of immediately spring to action once the dog's head's chopped off. Like
God.
William Peterson just takes action. He's like, right, Reese, Alyssa, child actor whose name I can't remember, head upstairs. Me and Laura will fend them off. And it kind of turns into Grindhouse. Kind of turns into like 90s Straw Dogs, where they're all trying to
Grindhouse
break
Home
in.
Alone, yeah.
Yeah, but they're trying to break in, but William Peterson's got his crowbar and he knocks the drill out of one of their hands, and Laura drills a hole through one of the other folks' hands.
Yeah,
Oh,
Nobby gets because a drill in his hand, yeah.
yeah. Oh, and just before this, just before shit's about to go down, They find out that David has the key code, and as William Peterson
Yes.
rushes to lock the door, we get the one moment that everyone remembers from this film where Marky
Yeah.
Mark says, you know, "Let me in the fucking house."
Yeah, which apparently was a like an outtake.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But they thought it was so effective they left it in. It was him mucking about, essentially.
Well, it's actually the one moment in the film where he's really scary and where he's
Yeah.
really acting. It's
Yeah.
pretty good outtake. It's a good thing he wasn't
Yeah.
going like, I don't know, good thing he wasn't saying like the N-word or anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Felt like that's a very convincing performance, Mark, but we can't really put that in the film. Also,
No.
we don't think David's a racist.
No.
And he's like, who said David said it?
He's many things, but he's not a racist.
Yeah, he's an abuser, everything, but not a racist.
Yeah, it's pretty intense, this whole sequence, because you also get the respite of the security guard sees the sort of Morse code flashing of the flashlight upstairs, so he goes to investigate, and then they
Yeah.
just fucking straight out murder the guard,
Yeah,
shoot him in the head.
I like how he initially gets the drop on them because he kind of knocks out Dave. He kind of dodges Logan trying to attack him and points the gun at them. And William Peterson knocks Marky Mark and Logan to the ground. But then once the security guard gets shot in the back, they then beat him up and then put him at gun, then force, you know, Laura at gunpoint to let them in. It's pretty hardcore. And then you've
But
got
that's
Tony.
where the tone just goes mental, because it's like, yeah, you're going to go to his house and smash it up and push the bins over and drive off. But no, they've now decided they're going to be the fucking Manson family. They're just going to kill everybody.
Yeah, and threatened to rape not just Nicole, but like
Yeah.
the mum as well, because like one of
Yeah.
them's grinding up against her when they're
Yeah.
tying her up, and but also the family as well suddenly go into self-defense mode. Like for a middle class, upper middle class family with no real, with I mean, okay, the dad I can accept because he's strangely violent, but you know the stepmom and you know Nicole, and they're pretty good at defending themselves. She punches, she when somebody's trying to get in on the upstairs window, she kind of pushes him down to the down to the ground.
They should have had the ending for the Lost Boys here, that they're just about to kill them, and then a big truck drives through the house. And then the old man gets out and goes, "That's what I hate about Shankar. There's too many Mark Wahlbergs."
That would have
Yeah.
worked.
Yeah.
But we also have the little brother doing a Macaulay Culkin,
Yeah.
because he gets into the garage. He actually figures it out in this on his own that he can call the police from his mum's car phone, and he's actually more help than Alyssa Milano, who's just in
Yeah.
absolute terror at this point.
Yeah.
And when he's in the car, trying to get the car, trying to switch the phone on, one of David's guys comes behind him and starts shooting. The kid knows,
Shooting. Yeah.
yeah, tries to shoot him, and then the kid knows how to duck and reverses over him.
Yeah. Now, bearing in mind, if he'd have survived, if any of them had survived, the police would have them for. So a man came in your house and pushed over a few things and smashed a couple of bits. You came over and murdered them all, including a child.
Yeah, I don't think they were thinking straight.
No, you decapitated a dog.
And he's like, so what? You know, I just wanted to be with Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Fair enough.
So
You can all go.
the two parents are tied up downstairs, and then David goes upstairs with Nicole to get Nicole, and shoots Logan, who's beaten up Margot and is trying to force himself on Nicole.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I mean, guess shows that David isn't one for sharing.
Oh.
And as he's about to get Nicole to, and he's about to take Nicole away, Peterson, for some reason, he's dragged Peterson upstairs so that he can see this and kill him.
Well, he wants to kill him in front of her so they can be free together. But what he doesn't know is that young Toby has gone to the corpse of the security guard and got the keys. So he's come up, he snuck upstairs and undone the handcuffs.
Yeah, amazingly thinking on his feet, amazingly well for an 11-year-old.
Well, it was the early 90s. 11-year-olds were very good against home invaders.
Yeah, it was absolutely yeah, the Home Alone films. He watched them, and every American kid at that point living in a suburban household had already absorbed home defense skills.
Yeah, you could totally dub comedy cartoon noises over all the injuries in this and make it like Home Alone 3.
Oh God, yeah, with like where the terrorists somehow decide to invade the home of the 10-year-old. Just dump in like boink boink noises
Exactly.
whenever Alyssa Milano is getting punched.
Yeah.
Or like vrow noises when like the one gang member's getting a drill through him.
Yeah, be funny. William Pearson and Mark Wahlberg have a mano a mano.
Yep, he gets uncuffed, and before they do though, Reese Witherspoon stabs him with the incredibly sharp peace pipe, which you'd think if
Yeah.
it was sharp, if it what if it was that sharp, would it not just like stop Mark Wahlberg instantly? Would it not just cause a lot of blood loss?
I guess, but he does play again. I think he plays that really well because he does a face that's kind of like, oh, fuck, you've pierced my lung or something.
Yeah,
He kind of goes, ooh, yeah.
But when he gets up, he's able to take on William Peterson like it's like
Yeah.
he's the Terminator.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of kind of grappling, non-gay grappling. But we get William Peterson then uses his super strength and
Jesus
throws
Christ, does he? Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg out the window, and he falls all the way to the rocks. I don't
Yeah.
know how many feet below on the ground.
Yeah. It's a big throw. It's like that bit in Hercules where he throws the bear into space.
Except that Mark Wahlberg doesn't become a constellation, sadly.
No, sadly not. He becomes a rocky dead man.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and that's the end of it. That's
I
the
was going to
end of
say,
the.
that's when you can always tell that a film's been beautifully put together when something like that happens, and then it instantly has the credits coming up, and you're like, oh, okay.
I think that's also 90s pacing, because if that film was made
Yeah.
today, there would be at least 15 minutes of add-on scenes where we go into how this has affected Reese Witherspoon, how this has affected the family, some explanation about David's behaviour. But nope, none of that.
None
He's
of that.
Marky Mark's dead on the ground, roll credits.
I thought there'd be him getting up and attacking someone again. But no.
No, not even a post-credit scene. Because the
No.
credits play out over his body getting loaded in, and I thought to the
That's
ambulance, and I
right.
thought maybe there'd, be a bit at the end, where, like in Young Sherlock Holmes, where
Oh, yeah. He signs.
he unzips the body bag, says, "I'm Professor Moriarty."
Yeah, signs the register.
Yep, and then starts going after Sherlock Holmes in the 19th century in a sequel that I never made.
Yeah, sadly.
And that's the end of Fear.
I fear it is.
I mean, what were your overall thoughts on it?
I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was a load of old crap, but it was an enjoyable load of old crap.
I think when it's dark and when it's really effective, like in a lot of the scenes between Mark Wahlberg and Reese Witherspoon, it's pretty well done. It's well
Yeah.
acted, it's well written, and it shows the development of an abusive relationship. The only problem are like the problems are, maybe it's because of the film's running time, of the film's writing, are some of the plot contrivances.
Yeah. But it really, the moments it shines is when he is sort of let off the leash and does his psycho bits, like when he's intimidating Gary and when he's thumping his chest. And you can see why he got more work after this, because I think he is the best thing in it,
He
really.
is, but what's interesting is that he never really plays many roles like this again. He only really
No.
plays kind of hero roles that are quite sort of buttoned down. And I mean, and you do get kind of the psycho moments, but they're in his comedies, strangely enough.
But didn't he do a Mel Gibson film recently where he had to play a bald man who was a psycho in a plane?
He did, yeah, Flight Risk. And watching the
I didn't
trailer
see
for
it.
I saw the trailer for it and I thought, oh, this is like your character in Fear, only with an unconvincing bald cap. This is really good. You should play more psychopaths.
Should he's got I mean his part in The Departed is a bit psychopathic, but on a good guy's side, but he's got a knack for it, clearly.
And hopefully he's not playing on reality here, but you
Yeah.
know, but in saying that, also Reese Witherspoon's very good as well. I mean, she hadn't had much up until this point, and she's very good at playing Nicole's naivety, but she's not too naive, and she makes her fully rounded character,
Yeah.
more so than the script does. And William Peterson's great because he's William Peterson, gets shows on Hinge side. It's just,
Yeah.
I mean, the finale though is where it does go off the rails.
It's just a different film.
Yeah.
It's a murderous gang doing a home invasion, which is not where you if someone had told you that an hour before, you'd be like, "What?"
Yeah,
There you go.
it feels like they maybe should have just either written in a more conventional ending, or they couldn't have made the rest of the film more grindhousey and trashy, because that would have missed the point. But I don't know, maybe they could have gone for like more of a toned down ending, but then would that have worked? I don't know.
That ending, that whole last act is more to do with a film where they're a family. Like, it would make more sense if they're a family that, and that's their holiday home,
Yeah.
and there's these guys living in the woods, and then that's the home invasion thing. But to marry it with the what's going on in the beginning, where it's just one unhinged guy, what's the motivation for the rest of his gang, apart from the fact they smashed up their drum kit, to literally commit murder? That's my only issue with the end.
Yeah, it feels like something that would belong in like a version of Straw Dogs. And I'm
Exactly, yeah.
wondering if it's because, as is the case for 90s Hollywood, they couldn't think of an ending that had a lot of oomph to it, like
Yeah.
Fatal Attraction or Single White Female had, and they didn't want something that was similar to that,
Yeah.
where it's just where it would be Mark Wahlberg versus Reese Witherspoon and William Peterson. They didn't want to copy that ending, so they thought, oh, let's go bigger, as is the case for the 90s, but it ends up then just being tonally quite disjointed.
Yeah, and I guess Cape Fear, the Cape Fear remake was not long before this as well, so you couldn't do that either.
Yeah, you couldn't really do Mark Wahlberg speaking in tongues.
No.
That's getting drowned by William
Nick Nolte.
Peterson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or yeah.
Nick
Yeah.
Nolte if wet. Yeah.
Yeah. Although in saying that, I think Nick Nolte would have been more unhinged in the dad role in
Oh,
this
yeah.
film.
Oh, hell. Mark Wahlberg's at the door. Oh, hell.
Well,
Yeah.
Nick Nolte would have ripped off Mark Wahlberg's head during the confrontation
He
scene.
would have done.
I looked at the
Yeah.
camera whilst doing so.
He'd have ripped off his head and fed it to the dog.
Yep, which would have saved him.
Yeah.
And so on that note, would you say that fear, would you say it's been justly forgotten, or do you think it needs a reappraisal?
I think it's been justly forgotten because it's a load of old nothing, really. It doesn't, it's quite generic. The only reason to watch it is a kind of as an antique to go, oh, that's where Mark Wahlberg kind of started, really. Because although he's in Basketball Diaries, he isn't in it a lot, and he's not got a huge part in that, as it were. Not like in Boogie Nights, hey?
Nope. Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
But
Way.
this is like one of those films you see sometimes where you're like, oh, that's where that actor really found his feet, as it were. So I think it's an interesting watch in that respect. But in terms of a thriller, it's just not, it's got not a lot to go back to.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from with that. It's good to watch just to see where him and Reese Witherspoon got started, but other than that, it's all right, but you know, there's much better versions of this story made in the 90s, like Single White
Exactly.
Female and the Single White Female, Fatal Attraction.
Cape Fear.
Yep, Cape Fear as
Yeah.
well. But on that note, that's the end of of the episode on fear. Join us next month where I'll be covering the spooky Kevin Bacon film Stir of Echoes. John, thanks for joining me. Could you let our listeners know where you can find Smersh Pod, and what have you got coming up next?
Oh, well, when's this going out?
Right, I'll be having it on the Patreon in the next few days, but it won't be sort of live to like everybody else until a week's time.
Okay. Well, you can find Smersh Pod on Twitter at Smersh Pod, and at Blue Sky, just look for Smersh Pod. I can't remember. I think it's just smershpod.com. But I've got coming up a Halloween season I'm in the midst of at the moment, and for the week of Halloween I've got an episode a day for a whole week, and then I've got some further bits in November. Then it'll be a Christmas specials, and then start again for another series next year.
Wow, sounds good. You planned this ahead much more than I have.
Oh, yeah, I find it helps.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to as well, but I was trying to think of, because I was going to cover one film, but then I realized it was being covered by another podcast who I'm mates with the guy with. So I thought, oh, I don't want to jeopardize our friendship over 1996's The Phantom.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Yeah, not
No.
worth losing it over Billy Zane in purple
No.
tights.
Yeah.
So instead, I decided to go with Kevin Bacon and his creepy possessed kid.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Films that Time Forgot can be found on all good podcast platforms, including Spotify and SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts. But if you want to catch it an episode a week earlier, subscribe to my Patreon. That's Thorny Film Reviews. That's Thorny Film Reviews. And until next time, keep watching.